Let's just go ahead and get something out of the way tonight. There is a better option than what you're dealing with right now. There is a better option than what's going on in your life right now. I just want to start with that tonight. Whatever you're struggling with, whatever you're dealing with, it's like Michael's song said, run to the Father. There is a better option than what you're dealing with. I've dealt with so much stuff in my life, and I forget that sometimes. That I have a better option than what I want, what I think I need, and that option is Jesus. So tonight we're going to look at 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. You can find your way there as we get started tonight. I want us to set a premise for the night. And it comes from John chapter 14 and John chapter 8. In John chapter 14, verse 6, it said, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In chapter 8, verse 44, Jesus said, the devil is a murderer. He does not stand for the truth, and he is the father of lies. And so everything that we think about tonight, let's start from there. That Jesus is truth, and the devil's a liar. Everybody agree with that in here tonight? That Jesus is truth and the devil is a liar. If you don't agree with that, hopefully by the time that we are done, you will understand that Jesus is truth and the devil is a liar. And from these two verses, we find ourselves at a crossroad in life on which direction to follow. Truth or a lie? A lie has always been a lie and nothing can change that and it will always be a lie. The truth has always been the truth, and no matter how much we try to change that or the devil tries to change that, the truth will be the truth. As we've gone through this study in the 1 John the past couple of weeks, we've learned a great deal about these truths. And John started out his letter by giving a concrete truth. And he said this in verse 1, it says, that which is from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. You see that for John and for the rest of them, it wasn't just something they were saying. It was an actual physical and spiritual thing. They'd seen Jesus. They had felt what he could do in their lives. Their heart was changed. Man, how much joy they had when they were with him. And when they weren't with him, it's the same thing it is for me. When I'm not with Jesus, I don't have much joy. And John felt that spiritually, emotionally, physically. And he said in verse 2, the life was manifested and we have seen and bear witness and declare it to you, the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. The life that was given to us. And hopefully everybody in this room tonight has accepted that life that has been given to you through the blood of Jesus Christ. If you haven't, tonight is a great night to accept His life, to accept His gift, to understand what He said is truth. And the devil's trying to push you out and saying, no, it's a lie, but it's not. In verse 7, he talks about the light that we should walk in. But if we walk in the light as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. And I love verse 4. John writes these things, that your joy may be full. I started off the welcome this morning was, there was joy in the house of the Lord, and I had you repeat that. You didn't do a very good job, so I had you repeat it again because I want you to understand that your joy needs to be full in the truth of Jesus Christ. But I'm going to give you another truth, and we're going to read a little bit here in just a second. If you've accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and your life's going well, I'll give you a truth. You will sin again. That's the truth. It's not one that we want to hear. It's not one that we, Kelly, you're wrong. I'm walking. You're going to sin again. That's my nature. That's your nature. In verse 8 of chapter 1, it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, We lie to ourselves. But verse 9 follows that up. And how great is verse 9? Verse 9 of chapter 1 of 1 John says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I may sin again. No matter how much I try not to, I have a Savior that loves me and a Savior that will forgive me if I ask. And tonight, if that's where you find yourself, ask Him to forgive you of your sin. Ask Him to forgive you of the wrongs that you've done. Ask Him to forgive you of the lies that you have believed. And so tonight, we're going to start with that premise, that Jesus is truth and the devil is a liar. If you'll stand, we'll read 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 6. Verse 1, it says, my little children, these things I write to you, so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He Himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world. Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. He who says, I know Him, and does not keep His commandments, is a liar. And the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly, the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself to walk just as he walked. Let's pray. Brother Dr. May, would you lead us as we pray? May be seated. Like I told you before, there is no doubt that you and I, all of us, will sin again, but that does not give us a license to sin. We just don't have a where we can run rampant and sin in our life and just keep asking God to forgive us. Will He forgive us? Yes, but that doesn't mean that we have that choice to do that. I'm a son of God. I've accepted Him as my personal Savior. Man, how much do I trample on His blood when I sin? How much do I just push other people away and tell Him I don't love Him when I sin? See, I don't have a license to sin. God deserves better. In the verse 1, John clarifies the reason why he stated the things he writes in all of chapter 1. In verse 1 of chapter 2, he says, my little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. He writes it so that you will know that there is a better option than sin. A better option for you in life. And that option is Jesus. And there, I could stop right there. And that's it. There is such a better option than what we put ourselves through on a daily basis. That option is the one that loves us with everything that He is. And that's Jesus Christ, the righteous. We go back to the God is truth and the devil is lies. We see that the devil would have you believe that whatever you want, whatever makes you happy, whatever needs fulfill your life, is all that you need. Well, I'm going to tell you, part of that's truth. Because whatever you need, whatever you want, should be Jesus. Whatever makes you happy should be Jesus. And whatever need that you have to fulfill your life should be Jesus. But the devil tries to fill it with other things. He tries to tell us, look, your life is broken. I've got something that'll make you happy for the moment. He tries to tell us that your marriage is through. I've got something that'll make you happy for the moment. He tries to tell us that, nah, just give it up, forget it, be sad, run around, do nothing. I love Brother Doug's message this morning. I needed it. I needed to know that God was a better option. I needed to know that I needed to not fear what was going on and the things around my life, but I could trust Jesus. And I could live in His love. Sin causes the unhappiness we find in life. I will tell you, joy does not cause unhappiness. Sin causes unhappiness. And from this moment on, I'm going to try my best to choose joy. And I hope that you can raise your hand and say, yes, I want joy. I want joy in my life. I don't want sin. I want happiness, and I want what God has for me. The devil would have you believe that chasing your wants of the flesh is the best way. But it's not. Relying on Jesus, like He intended from the beginning, is the best way. Rely on Him. He will fix whatever problems in your life. Romans 8:8 says, those who are the flesh, who are of the flesh, cannot please God. Grab a hold of that for just a second. If you're chasing after sin, if that's what you're holding on to fill the voids in your life, you cannot please God. Period. End of story. That's a truth you cannot change because it comes straight from Scripture. If you are chasing after sin, you cannot please God. But Romans 8:9 says, and He's speaking to saved, but you are not of the flesh, you are of the Spirit. Chase after God. There is a better option than sin. It's Jesus. Finding joy in your life produces eternal happiness. Man, I cannot wait for eternity in heaven. Because then I don't have to worry about anything else that's not producing happiness. That's not producing joy. Here on this world, in this spot that I'm in today, man, anything can knock me off my joy. Anything. Bad driver. People who stop to make a right-hand turn when they don't have to. That drives me insane. And see, just that little thing knocks me off my joy happiness tour. That's a good term right there. Joy happiness tour. All right. It knocks me off. Things like that will derail me. And I don't want to be derailed. And I want to find joy that produces eternal happiness. You see, this is what happens when we sin. We go back to verse 1 of chapter 2. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate. John writes, we have an advocate. If you don't know what an advocate is a representative. Someone who pleads our case. Isn't that great? I need somebody to stand up and go, what you think of Kelly is not near as bad as what I know of Kelly. You see, Jesus knows everything about me. And He also stands up and go, what you say about Kelly and what you know about Kelly, that may be true. But my blood's going to cover his sins. Man, isn't that great? Can you get happy about that? Because if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, guess what? It's the same thing He's going to do for you. Because He said, if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father. And that advocate, that representative, is Jesus Christ. And you know why He can be that? Because the last two words of that scripture, the righteous. Jesus Christ, the righteous. That's why He can. Because He didn't sin. He's holy. There's nothing about Him that's bad. All good things come from the Father. The Holy Spirit represents Christ to us on this earth, and the Son represents us to God in heaven. He Himself is our propitiation. Wow, that's a big word. He Himself is our propitiation. Say it too much, I can't spit it out, I'm sorry. But that means He is our forgiveness. Man. Jesus Christ Himself is our forgiveness. You see, as sons and daughters of Jesus Christ, we don't have to do penance. We don't have to make sacrifices. We don't have to punish ourselves like some other religions believe they have to. Because every sin that we've committed is taken care of at the cross. But again, being able to sin and being able to get out of it does not give us a license to do it. Don't mistake that. The Christian who truly understands God's provision in their life wants desperately. Desperately. If you truly understand what God's done for you and you truly want to follow Him, you desperately want to obey Him and not disobey Him. He is not only our means of forgiveness. Let's go back to verse 2. And He Himself is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the whole world. It doesn't just stop with us. You can't keep it to yourself. You don't own it. It's Jesus' love to freely give. His forgiveness to freely give. It's not just for Victory. It's not just for the Missionary Baptists. It's for everybody in the whole world. How exciting is that? I don't care what people tell you. Jesus Christ does love you. He does. Doesn't mean that you're not separated from Him. And the whole world needs Him as personal Savior. Not only ours, but He's the whole world's means of forgiveness. So have you ever been called a liar? Raise your hand if you've ever been called a liar today. Oh. I've been called a liar. I don't like to be called a liar. I'm kind of like the guy off of Back to the Future. Y'all all seen that movie, right? Where they look at him and go, "What are you, chicken?" And he always gets into trouble when he turns around because he doesn't like to be called chicken. I don't like to be called a liar. One reason I like to be called a liar is because I don't like to lie. I just don't. Doesn't mean I haven't ever told a lie in my life. I was a kid once. I'm an adult now. Okay? That doesn't mean anything. But I like being called a liar. And John said, "The one that says, 'I know Jesus,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar." He is a liar. And that's verse 4. "He who says, 'I know Him,' does not keep His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Being a liar is tough because it points out flaws in us. But here's the deal. He said, verse 3, "Now by this we know that we know Him, if we keep His commandments. And who He says, 'I know Him,' and does not keep His commandments is a liar." Don't want you to think about this. So many times I don't keep His commandments. "You shall have no other gods before me." What have you placed before God? It's a simple commandment, right? What have you placed before God? "You shall not make any idols." What idols have you made out of things that in this world that you would rather serve than God? "Keep the Sabbath day holy." That's a tough one, right? Man, so many things I'd rather do than to worship God on a pretty day. "Honor your father and mother." Children, and that's all of us, right? How many times did we not honor our father and mother? Husbands and wives, how many times did we not honor each other? "You shall not murder." Now, I'm not going to tell you how many times I wish I got somebody in my heart. And that's tough. "You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. And you shall not covet." We struggle with these. 10 simple ones. We struggle with them. In verse 6 through 7, he says, if we say that we have fellowship with Him, and this is chapter 1, we walk in darkness. In verse 8, he says this, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. In verse 10, if we say we have not sinned, we make Him a liar. Chapter 1, lying about our obedience, saying that we have kept His commandments when we have not, makes us a liar. And I'm calling myself a liar because I struggle with keeping God's commandments. The simple ones. I struggle. And there's these two. Love your God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love others as yourself. In 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 11, it says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows of God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through Him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Whoever keeps God's Word. Whoever keeps God's Word. Man, I want to be somebody that's truthful. I want to love people. And I struggle with it. I'm just going to be honest with you. I struggle with loving people the way that I should. I get irritated just like you do. Sometimes I don't hold it back. But here's the deal. The love of God is perfected. It's perfected. Know what that word means? It's been completed in us. When we know we are in Him by keeping His commandments and loving one another. So how do we not sin? That's a good question, right? Everybody wants to know the answer to that. How do we not sin? We find the answer in 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. Everybody turn there for me real quick. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. He who says he abides in Him ought himself also to walk as He walked. Man, how do we walk as Jesus walked? We live a life that is sinless. That's my nature. I keep from sinning. I promise you, the closer you walk with Jesus, the more that you want to live like Him, love like Him, be like Him, the less likely that the devil's going to be able to tell you things that's a lie and keep you from the truth, and you're going to want to follow Jesus. If we are to abide in Him, then that means we must be close with Him in all things in our life. Be close with Him. Study His Word. Walk with Him. You know, I'm pretty sure there's people in the Bible that God took because they walked close with Him. Man, isn't that awesome to be just taken because you were that close with God? If we are to abide in Him, then we must have a relationship with Him. And that's where it starts. You want to know how not to sin? You want to know how not to be called a liar? To have a relationship with Jesus Christ as personal Savior. Let Him cleanse your sin. Because He's the only one that can do it. He's the only one that can make things right. You know those two big words? He's taking care of it. Jesus Christ, the righteous, the one whom we serve, the one who loves us enough to come and to live a sinless life, to show us how we're supposed to be. He's our example. He is the one that we need to look to. He shed His blood for us. So I challenge you this week to walk close with Him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank You again for all that You've given us. For the life that You've lived. For the love that You gave. Father, it's going to be a great day when I see you face to face. Father, that I will know that I will not have distractions that I face on a daily basis to draw me away from you. But Father, that my focus will have nothing else to gaze upon but you and your glory. Father, I pray that you would help each of us here tonight. That the distractions would be gone. Father, that we would just, our gaze would just be so intent on you. That we would walk step in step with you. Father, that our lives would be filled with love. That our lives would be filled with goodness. Father, that we would follow everything that you have asked for us to do. Father, it's because of that I want to praise you. Because it's your power. Nothing that I can do upon myself, but it's your power that will help me do it. Father, I love you. In your name I pray. Amen.